bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board Thursday podcast edition. We put a final bow on week one and look towards all the marquee matchups of week two, highlighted by the Thursday night clash between the Denver Broncos and Kansas City Chiefs. However, Payne, let's try and put a little bit of a wrap on Monday, the voice you're about to hear, that of Payne Insider. Follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. What do we think of the Monday night fiascos, my friend?
Well, it was tough gauging the games with all the line movements for our listeners, but I think we put them in the right direction on both dogs. Hopefully they made a few bucks. And just kind of what I expected with that Falcons defense. I know tougher time in the second half once the Eagles made adjustments, but I like what Dan Quinn's doing. You can kind of see that scheme change. They're gang tackling. They're running to the ball. And I think this is going to be an interesting Falcons team moving forward. And one thing we talked about on the preseason podcast is we weren't as down on the 49ers as everybody else. The information we had where they were going to let Kaepernick be Kaepernick, and we saw a lot of rollouts. We saw a lot of dump-offs to running backs, and we saw him not be that pocket quarterback he was forced to be a season ago.
I think we want to go glass half full with the way the two home dogs performed, Atlanta getting out to that pretty sizable halftime lead, San Francisco playing a similar brand of football, really stifling Minnesota. But what do you make of the Vikings' debut performance? So much hype around them, Teddy Bridgewater. This team was going to be the next great thing in the NFC turning the corner. And, of course, Philadelphia, although the Eagles did start to get their feet under them throughout the course of the second half, it was a Cody Parkey field goal late that ended up costing them the victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Minnesota, we had, the market tipped a little bit, and there's just way too much overreaction to a lot of the offseason moves. We know they had issues on the offensive line, and that proved to be a problem early on in that game and throughout the course of things. And the biggest question mark is Teddy Bridgewater. Is he going to take that step this year? And it didn't seem like he did in week one. Time will tell. He is going to need to be kind of the glue that moves that team forward. And really disappointing for Mike Zimmer. I mean, a defensive guy, and they were just able to gash them literally up the middle, punch the Vikings in the mouth with Carlos Hyde, and there was really no response from that point forward.
Yeah, a pair of divisional games for both of those teams as Philadelphia will look to get into the win column this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys. One of your marquee Sunday matchups, which we'll get to in greater detail. The Vikings do play host to the Lions, and we've already seen a little bit of money on the road dog. Going to be interesting to try and figure out what we're dealing with the Vikings. And to help kind of break down some of that information, let's bring in Dave Mason from our proud flagship sponsor, Bet Online, to share the book's perspective on how the weekend went and some of the things that odds makers are looking for this upcoming weekend. All right, Dave, let's get down to business. Everybody wants to know how the house did opening weekend. We heard about it being a bloodbath on Sunday. Let's be honest here. I have to imagine you guys made back a lot of that money on Monday night with both those home dogs coming through for you.
Yeah, Sunday was a rough one. It was pretty bad, but especially, I mean, we could have made a lot more money on that Sunday night game, but except for the Giants' absurd play call at the end. Help us at all either. That just kind of added a little insult to injury, even though the Giants still covered, of course, all the teasers hit and the over hits and blah. But anyways, Monday was a new day, and we came back strong. You know, everybody was on the favorites, and the overs, of course, were getting pounded on both favorites, both overs, and the unders and the dogs helped us out a little bit. So, yeah, we made some of that money back from Sunday and then some, so that's how big day was. But, I mean, action has been great. I mean, one thing that stuck out Monday night while I was online, our manager from our live betting product hit me up, and he said that they were taking more action on that Philadelphia-Atlanta game live than any other game in the history of BetOnline, including this year's Super Bowl. So that just tells you how much action is coming in on these games this year. So we're real happy about that. That was kind of surprising to me, but hey, it was a great surprise. So that just added even a little bit more. Plus, we needed the Falcons on that game too, so that felt good as well.
Always good to hear the business is healthy, Dave. There's no doubt about it. Payne, anything in particular that really jumped off the page for you for the upcoming weekend with Dave?
No, I mean, I think speaking of action, where is it coming in early, sides and totals-wise, Dave?
Right now, our biggest exposure, the Patriots over the Bills, we're about 85% bet count on the Patriots. Rams over Skins is a huge one, of course. That one's about 95% right now, right in that 92% range, 95% range money and bet count. And then another big one is the Titans for the Browns, obviously, about 80% of the money and bets are on the Titans. And those last two just tells you, how bettors really look at Heen did the week before, especially that Titans. This time last week, they're the worst team in football, and now all of a sudden they're people are betting them as road chalk. So, that and deservedly so. It's hard not to bet them after how they looked last week, but that just kind of points out how people look at that last result, and that plays such a huge impact on who they're going to bet the following weekend.
Well, Dave, it's interesting that you mentioned that Browns-Titans game, and as we get into that game with a little more specifics and in-depth analysis with Payne later on in the show, are you seeing public money that's backing the Titans at this point, or is it a little bit of sharp money knowing that, hey, they can get out ahead of this curve? Evidently, we'll probably see some buyback, given those reasons you mentioned, public perception playing such a huge role. This is still a team that went 2-14 a season ago.
Right. Absolutely. Well, the Sharps hit it early. Their money, they're getting plus two, plus one and a half when we opened it up. But yeah, the public's hitting it as well. So, now that the Titans are favored, the action's evening out a little bit more. But we're still exposed on them. And like I said, with plus money, so.
It's always interesting to hear that when you look at these numbers and see how much the market actually shifts. Payne, you and I talk about all the time with public perception playing such a huge role in a lot of these games.
Yeah, absolutely, especially week to week early on. It is difficult early on in the season, though, kind of judging how accurate some of your numbers might be. And we talk about this all the time. Is it just public reaction or are our numbers that far off this early in the season? And it's not that they're going to be that far off. But you get injuries compiled with it, especially in that Tennessee-Cleveland game. It'll be interesting to see when we get into greater depth if McCown's going to be cleared for that, because I think, Dave will get evened out a little bit when it comes to that regard if that's the case. But moving forward with Bet Online, anything big going on this weekend over there, Dave?
Well, this week again, we have the special bonuses thrown out there. Welcome bonus at 75%. Use promo code BTB75, and if you already have an account at BetOnline, we're still going to hook you up with a 50% reload bonus. Use promo code BTB50. All the terms and conditions and those promo codes can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. So head on over there, check out terms and conditions, and sign up and get your accounts funded for this week's action.
Dave, always a pleasure getting you to jump on with the book's perspective. But before I let you go, I do have to say social media, a little bit unhappy that there weren't any Trump props available at your shop last night for their second round of the Republican debate.
Well, you know what? I'll pass that on to the guys that run the props department, and we'll get it next time. I guarantee it.
Always good to have some other bet options. Dave, thanks again for joining us. Looking forward to having you same time, same channel next week to offer the book's perspective and what's kind of great opportunities are available for our players at Bet Online heading into week three.
All right, fellas. Talk to you next week.
Later, bud.
Later.
Payne, we talked to Dave a little bit and get the idea of kind of who the sides of sports books are going to need, and it provides a great segue into that Tennessee-Cleveland game. You've seen some shops open as high as 4 with the Browns favored. You mentioned that uncertainty at quarterback. It looks like Johnny Manziel is going to start. From the betting perspective, where do we even go about trying to handicap this one, and what do you anticipate, you know, this line potentially climbing to before you do see some of that sharp buyback?
Well, I think at this point, if you like Tennessee, the number's long gone. You shouldn't be investing in it one way or the other. At this point, it's Cleveland or pass at plus one, potentially plus 1.5. And it'll be interesting to see. Friday would be the earliest time that McCown could get cleared to practice. And again, if McCown is cleared, I think Cleveland ends up closing a small favorite. If he's not, there's really no telling how far this number will go. And I'll probably, even though there's just so much overreaction in this price, I'll probably have to let it go if Manziel is the guy here.
Are you a little bit surprised that the public has come in and supported Tennessee with such fervor early in the week, just based on the strength of one Marcus Mariota debut performance? Or is this something you kind of anticipated, given the gaudy numbers he was able to put up against the much maligned Tampa Bay Bucks?
Well, this is a combination of two things, not only the public, but this is also sharp money coming in and just simply number grabbing a plus four and saying, we have the best of the number, we'll figure out what to do with it later. And that's just market manipulation from a lot of sharp guys in conjunction with the public money, and it's kind of created this snowball effect. But like I said, if McCown's in there, I think Cleveland, you know, closes a small favorite again. So we'll be monitoring that situation very closely. If not, we'll see most people, and maybe something we touch on later in this podcast, to create some type of middle is using Cleveland as a teaser leg to get them through the 3 and the 7. So now you have Tennessee early in the week at plus 4, plus 3.5, and you have a teaser leg with Cleveland through the 7.
I'm glad you mentioned teasers. We did get a few questions through social media on teasers and how people should potentially use them as a betting tool. However, we'll focus on some of the games for now. Make sure we get to that before we send off people with some parting shots. You mentioned the quarterback uncertainty. We had another team elect to have a very short leash on their starting quarterback. Of course, the Houston Texans, the Hard Knocks darlings, they traveled down to Charlotte to take on Carolina. We discussed how poor Carolina was offensively, but you're still seeing the Panthers right now as a 3-point favorite at Bet Online. Actually, 3.5, I should say. You have to lay a little bit of juice to grab that hook. Total at 40. Any difference in the handicap with Ryan Mallett now listed as a starter instead of Brian Hoyer?
You know, they're both average quarterbacks, and their performances are going to fluctuate greatly week to week. I think probably the leash should have been a little longer with Hoyer if that's the direction you chose to go due to experience. We know Mallett has way more skill. It's just the elevator hasn't always been able to go to the top floor when it comes to Ryan Mallett. This week, I think you can kind of throw that out the window. This is more a play against Carolina and what they did offensively last week against Jacksonville. Some question marks with Darrell Williams, a tackle for the Carolina Panthers. It looks like he's out. You got to monitor the Kuechly situation. And if you've done your required reading, you kind of know Ron Rivera's come out, said he doesn't need to practice this week. He just needs to get cleared to go for the game. They also might see a boost if Star Lulatelli comes back. That's a huge addition to the defensive line for Carolina. But I still think if you can get the hook, Houston's going to be the side here.
It doesn't need a practice. That sounds like the kind of logic you use with me before we try and go through podcast prep each and every week. Some interesting notes on this game to factor into the equation. The Panthers 12-1 straight up the last 13 times they've been listed as a home favorite. The Texans have struggled in terms of winning football games when listed as a road underdog. They're 1-12 in those type of situations. Just a little bit of food for thought, but much like you, Payne, I would gravitate towards Houston, especially being able to grab the 3.5. I think 40, a little bit of an inflated total if the Texans defense gets things back in line to where we thought they'd be before the season. Talking about a team who had a great defensive performance last week, look no further than Orchard Park, New York, where Buffalo is a short home underdog right now. You're looking at them catching one, a total of 45, as they play host to New England. The Patriots, to say they've owned Buffalo is probably a mild understatement, Payne. 26-3 straight up the last 29 against these Buffalo Bills.
Tyrod Taylor fever, baby. It's all over
catch
the place.
Catch it.
This is an interesting game, and you know, we talked about it on the Monday podcast. I feel like I'm a week behind on Buffalo, but that said, Mason nailed it. All the public money still continuing to come in on New England here. Buffalo would be the only way to look. Dominic Easley, I think he's going to be out. We saw New England had trouble stopping the run. If he's out, it's only going to be tougher. And this is kind of one of those games where Buffalo's line play is going to dominate, much like they did against the Colts last week. I think that'll be the key here. I hate to jump in on Tyrod Taylor right now. Again, he kind of provided what the defense gave to him. He did find a deep pass to Harvin. It kind of floated like a kite out there. So I think he's kind of limited in that regard. But the key for this Buffalo team is defense. Stay ahead of the chains on offense, and I think they'll be fine. This is a huge game. I think probably Buffalo's biggest game in God knows how long. For me, it's Buffalo or nothing. And again, we talked about a teaser leg. Potentially now we're looking at plus one using a 6.5-point teaser. Get them above the 7.5. Might be a decent leg this week. But for me, it's Buffalo or nothing.
And when you look at the total at 45, a little bit surprised the number's this low, or does that more or less indicate that this game is going to be played at Buffalo's pace and tempo, knowing all the things you mentioned? They want to stay ahead of down and distance. Tyrod Taylor, pretty conservative on offense. I believe I saw the NFL Advanced Films, one of their metrics said Taylor didn't throw more than one ball downfield above 7 yards, and that was that floater to Percy Harvin, as you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the under... potentially the way to look here. New England looked good offensively, but we know how the deficiencies are kind of prevalent when it comes to Pittsburgh's defense this season. And just the lack of weapons, this is a game where they will show up. Rex Ryan has had great success against New England's offense. I think he'll do something to slow Gronk down. And if you can do that, the weapons are very, very limited when it comes to New England's offense.
I think you make a great point there, and Rex knowing he's only got to try, and only, I say only, limit at least Gronkowski and force everyone else on that Patriots roster to beat him. For me, I would echo those same sentiments, and with a hard lean towards Buffalo. Given those two teams starting at 1-0, knowing what's at stake in the division, these two teams looked anything but good when you talk about their week one performances. Baltimore headed out west for the second straight week to take on the Oakland Raiders. It looks like Derek Carr will get the nod under center for the Raiders. Baltimore, a 6-point favorite in this game, a total of 43.5. How do you begin to even go about handicapping these two teams?
It's tough. I think Baltimore is going to miss Suggs, but we know last time he missed with this injury. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, so maybe the second time that pans out as well. Oakland, I thought they would be an improved team, not necessarily on the scoreboard or the win column, but a team that shows that improvement, a team that wants to compete. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how healthy Carr is with the hand. He's going to go. I think probably his best attribute is just being a strong competitor, and maybe he's not 100% healthy. That's what would scare me off. But this line is extremely inflated here, and I think you'll see professionals come in on Oakland at some point.
Beware of the Mark Trestman effect, guys. Be aware. He's awful. He ruins offenses.
Well, I mean, Joe Flacco's performance week one against Denver, Sam, would definitely support that assessment. I know the folks in Chicago weren't exactly sad to see him pack his bags and head out to the East Coast.
They just don't run the ball. They don't run the ball with success.
You got to keep that in mind.
It's a dainty offense. That's for sure. There's no question about that when it comes to Mark Trestman.
A dainty offense. I feel like, Payne, you've been described as dainty plenty of times in that Miami club scene throughout the summer months as well. So.
Here we go.
I mean, it's early in the year, but we have to get into midseason form as quickly as we can because the money earned in week 2 is just as green as the money we plan to take home in week 17. And for two teams, I guess another interesting divisional game, probably going to be one of the marquee games of the afternoon slate, Dallas and Philadelphia. Dallas with the improbable comeback against the Giants, you know, finding a way to win that game late. Of course, they'll be without the services of Dez Bryant. Philadelphia looked like a different team in the second half, found that continuity, spread the ball around plenty to the receivers out of the backfield. Jordan Matthews had a nice night. But we're looking at Philadelphia, a 5-point favorite, kind of a dead number right now. Total on the game, 55. The road team has dominated this rivalry, 8-2 straight up the past 10 meetings. Payne, where do we start to handicap this one between the Birds and the Boys?
I think this is kind of the perfect storm game here. We know Dallas, how good they've been covering the number last year, winning every single road game. But for me, you get the injury to Dez Bryant. We know the offensive line's great, and it allows them to do a lot of things. But when you look at last week, a combination of Randall and McFadden, they combined for just 3.6 yards per carry. So if they're not going to be able to keep their defense off the field, I think a Philadelphia offense that found continuity late in that Monday night game is really, really going to hurt that defense. And I really want to see Philadelphia move forward defensively. That's kind of the interesting aspect to this team. I think their front seven's much better than people think. And they played very well in the second half of that game, allowing the offense to get them back in there. I think this is kind of that perfect storm game, and I really like Philadelphia here this week, not only laying the points for your survivor pools, whatever the case may be. I think Philadelphia is one of the better bets this week.
Now, we've seen this number tick down, up, all over the place. As I look at the screen, Bet Online hanging 555, I see his number as low as 4.5, a number as high as 5.5. Do we think this price gets all the way down to 4, or do we think it continues to climb closer to 6 as we approach kickoff?
You know, there's been some maneuvering on this game throughout the course of the week. It did get as high as 6. And we saw some money come in on Dallas, more so maneuvering, I think, to get a better number on Philadelphia later in the week as limits increase. We know the public sentiment for the Dallas Cowboys is always going to be there. As great as Philadelphia looked in the second half, they still lost the game, and that's what the public sees. So I think this number is going to be in control, and I think anything that you can lay that's under 7 or even under 6 in this case is a good bet on Philadelphia.
And if you like the Eagles and you're taking advantage of those reload bonuses or first-time opportunities available at Bet Online, you could have actually laid 3 minus $1.20. The early bird gets the worm. And paying probably the marquee game that everyone has had circled on their calendar since the schedule was released, the Sunday Nighter, Seattle, and their 0-1 record goes into Lambeau Field, where the Packers will have revenge on their mind to take on Green Bay. Game right now, 3.5, total of 49. The Seahawks continued their dreadful play, 2-9 straight up in September road games, obviously with a very tough task ahead this weekend.
I think this is the best game on the card. I can't wait to watch it. Some definite maneuvering here in the marketplace for Green Bay. You know, their home field advantage is more than the current price being indicated in the market. I think we saw some of the fours that, you know, were out there at a few places were quickly nabbed. I think you're going to get that whole revenge angle kind of being overplayed here in this situation. And the question mark here for Seattle is the offensive line. It's been the question mark since they've gotten rid of Max Unger at center. They had issues against the Rams defensive front, but I think a lot of teams will. And when we looked at Green Bay last week defensively, I was shocked to see how they were manhandled by that Bears front. Forte and Co. went for nearly 190 yards, almost 6 yards per carry. So I don't know if Seattle's going to be posed with that same defensive line threat this week. For me, I'm going to wait as humanly long as possible and probably grab the points here with Seattle when it comes to the Sunday Nighter.
Yeah, take that, Mark Trestman. Power ground game courtesy of John Fox. It still, of course, wasn't good enough for the Bears to beat the Packers because of Jay Cutler's inevitable mistake. Payne, interestingly enough, I mentioned Seattle's struggles on the road in September, 2-9 straight up. But during that stretch, if you go back a little bit further, they're 9-3-1 against the number. Their last 13 times they've been listed as a road underdog. So you talk about this number climbing. We did see a 4. It didn't last all that long in the market. I would agree with you here. I think the only way to look is with the live road dog for just that reason. So many people factoring revenge into the equation. But laying 3.5 in this league, not exactly like expecting a team to win outright.
This is just a huge week in general for the NFL and teams. We know Green Bay went out and got their win, but this is just a huge, huge week for Seattle. When we talk about the NFL landscape, since the playoffs expanded to 12 teams in 1990, teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs just 12% of the time. So if you go 0-2, it's kind of the NFL equivalent to a death sentence. I know the Colts defied those odds last year due to a weak division, weak schedule, but this is a huge week for teams that started 0-1. So I think that's definitely something that you have to look at and focus on.
Any other games you have on your radar this weekend?
You know, I think the Detroit-Minnesota game is interesting. We saw that number open 3. Both teams dealing with the West Coast travel, so I don't think that's anything you need to factor in. Minnesota on a little shorter week. I think there's been some maneuvering done to get that where, you know, they feel comfortable laying the points. You also have to look at a Haloti Ngata injury that's kind of crept up, and if he's not able to go for Detroit, that's a big, big loss. So that's one that we're definitely looking at. St. Louis, Washington, potentially the under there. But other than that, I think it's going to be a pretty slow week for us.
I feel like there's some good opportunities to kind of jump in and play some of these games with a little bit more zest and vigor than it is to kind of take the shotgun approach and spray the board. Payne, one thing that people have asked us, and it seems to be a question that comes up all the time in discussion. I know I get it on social media. I'm sure you do as well. The teaser and how to kind of use that as a weapon in your arsenal to make NFL betting a little bit more profitable. What are your thoughts about employing this tool, which can be, you know, something that's great or something that contributes to gambler's ruin faster than anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I probably will go on a little bit of a rant and ramble here, but it's definitely worthwhile to add to your arsenal using the six pointers. If you're shopping around and getting those at even money, it's fantastic, even minus 110, to get those through the key numbers of 3 and 7. It's a great additional piece. I know the math guys use them, but for us, it's not only getting it through the 3 and the 7, but it's also another avenue to get as much money down on sides that we really, really do like. And I think that's kind of the one takeaway when it comes to sports betting, is not to say that not everyone's talented, but in life in general, you know,
That's true. Everyone isn't talented. You're 100% correct.
Right. When it comes to, you know, football, the star who oversleeps the meeting, he's going to be able to play that week. Meanwhile, the backup, you know, they probably use to set an example. So when it comes to information, you know, teasing your favorite team and your, you know, buddy who's at the bar drunk, his lock of the week probably isn't going to earn you profit. But when it comes to having the information at your disposal, using that to get more money down, using that to disguise some of your accounts as not being sharp because you're teasing sides through numbers that might not be desirable, is definitely the way some of these groups operate their business.
And a subtle plug for the information we share on this podcast. Typically, we'll let you know which sides are more conducive to teasers and which should be included in those type of options. And if you're not following on Payne on Twitter, I encourage you to do so, and do so now. You can find him at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Todd Furman. And the one thing, Payne, that we always wrap our show with on Thursdays, of course, is the Thursday night preview. And this one week, what a dandy, with Denver on the road at Kansas City. We talked about it on Monday's podcast. The look-ahead line for this game was listed at a pick. Now you've seen the number balloon to Kansas City, -3, -$1.20, the total of 42. Peyton Manning against Alex Smith, the old man on short rest. I'm going to give you the floor and let you dance with it.
We could be witnessing NFL history tonight. Broncos going for their 13th straight division road win, and they've been good in this spot. They've covered, they've won games by 12 points per game in this spot, but this is a new time. We talked a little bit about it on the Monday podcast, trying to get listeners to get the best number possible. Kansas City was absolutely real at Pick'em at -1. They were willing to kind of take those low limits to grab the best price. Now at 3, 3.5, I'm sure we'll see some resistance in the marketplace, but already Peyton Manning struggling with a back issue, held out of practice early in the week. CJ Anderson, God bless anybody who drafted him in fantasy. I think he's going to struggle this year. He's got an ankle issue, a toe problem, so that could make things difficult. When you look at this now, not so much from a side perspective, but I do like the Chiefs. I think under's probably a decent way to look. More so at this point, I would be looking at first half at only 21. So that's kind of how I would look in this Thursday night contest.
And you mentioned the struggles of C.J. Anderson. Hopefully, if you're not in a deep fantasy league, you've already secured Ronnie Hillman as a handcuff. Payne, you and I both believe he's going to get the lion's share of carries as they get deeper into the season, especially in this offense.
Yeah, I think as this offense continues to struggle a little bit, they're going to need a game breaker or two. And as long as Ronnie Hillman can hang on to the ball, that's been his issue from day one, he's obviously the better back. But if he can't hold on, we'll see C.J. Anderson. This Denver offense will be interesting to monitor. We know they didn't pass the ball very well, I believe 4.4 yards in their opening week game at home against Baltimore. Manning throwing the flutter balls a little bit. We saw some sharp money late in the preseason come in on Denver under. We know Manning is 100% healthy. We know his offensive line is not very good. Can he be kept upright? This Kubiak system, I told you, it's a lot of zone scheme to kind of disguise the deficiencies for that offensive line, but it requires some rollouts, something Peyton Manning is not going to be able to do. And we talk about that week one game, passing it over 40 times a game. We know he's got the noodle arm. How long is he going to be able to throw 40 times a game? I think it's going to have its effect late in the season. I just want no part of this Denver team.
Who's got the better arm at this point, Smith or Manning?
Oh, I never thought I'd say this. I'm going to say Alex Smith.
So sad.
That's going to be the big question mark. I was shocked to see that he was able to kind of create some areas to run, and Kansas City wasn't really able to operate on the ground game with Jamaal Charles. That'll be a big key to this game tonight. And really, I think the defensive lines will kind of rule the roost tonight. Both offensive lines, huge question marks. So it's kind of why I lean under, more so in the first half, only at 21.
And a couple other nuggets on that, Payne. You mentioned Denver looking to try and win their 13th straight divisional game on the road. They just happen to be 11-1 against the spread in the previous 12 in that margin of victory that you mentioned. And if this total seems unusually low for the Denver Broncos, well, it actually is, because the number at 42 hasn't happened since 2012, since before Peyton Manning was in Denver taking snaps. Much like you, I actually agree on the under first half. And I think as we start to see some 42s out in the market, even 42.5, I'd make a case for full game as well being a value opportunity. Payne, another fine podcast in the books. I know people can find all your great work at PayneInsider.com. They can check out the podcast home at ToddsTake.com, along with iTunes, SoundCloud, every which way you can find it. Make sure you're subscribing and doing your best work so you get every single nugget that comes from Payne to get you prepared for the weekend. And more importantly, Payne, we closed last week with our catchphrase, and it led to some home dog leans and winners on Monday night. I guess we have to do it again.
Yeah, go for it. I think we kind of touched on everything this week. I think if you're looking for a best bet, it actually comes with a favorite in the Philadelphia Eagles.
For Payne Insider, special thanks again to Dave Mason and our great sponsorship with Bet Online, who will be with us all season long. I'm Todd Furman. Take this information. You can bring it to the bank. And more importantly, we'll see you at the window.